Hey guys! Welcome to episode number 5 of Once Upon a Podcast. Today we're going to be recapping the movie The Road to El Dorado. I'm Brianna.
And I'm Serena. Here we're going to recap every episode of Once Upon a Time and compare them to their corresponding fairy tales, as well as with a bunch of other Disney movies. Today is an exception, though, because this is not a Disney movie, nor is it an episode from Once Upon a Time. Today we're going to talk about The Road to El Dorado, which is a DreamWorks movie.
Yeah, and it's weird because it was also made by Universal. I was very surprised that two big movie production companies worked together for it.
Yeah, she commented on it, but I honestly didn't really know that there was a difference because I never pay attention to earlier movie, like, you know, the stuff that comes before the actual movie.
Yeah, I always pay attention to it.
I just got bored by it, so I just associated with the things that were slowing down my movie process, you know? I didn't really think that there was any actual... Not that I didn't think there was actual meaning to it, but I didn't really put in the effort to think about it, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, usually we start with Marvel, Disney, or other life news, but,
we just recorded yesterday, so we don't have a lot to add.
Yeah, we're trying to catch up because our release date is coming soon, yeah, which we'll see.
April 26th,
woo!
Even though this won't be way past, but...
Yeah, so, it's context, it's like, it is Easter right now, so happy Easter.
Happy really, really, really late Easter when you listen to this.
Yeah. And, I don't know, what other life news do we have?
I got a lot of candy, and I ate ice cream today, and then we did a terrible Pamela Reif workout.
We did. I don't think have we ever worked out together before this?
No.
This was the first time. It was hard. But also, you were using a carpet.
Yeah, it was kind of hard because... It was kind of slippery.
Yeah, our dorm room is hardwood. Not hardwood. It's tile, so it is very uncomfortable to do workouts on top of. So we tried our best, but...
Yeah. Pamela Reif workouts are so fun, but also so terrible. And also, I haven't worked out since summer. And probably like the middle of summer, not the end.
Yeah. I work out at least...
Wait, actually, never mind. I worked out over winter break.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
It was a good time. And we also walked down to the koi ponds today. Mm-hmm. And we don't usually do that. It was really nice out today.
Yeah, and I took some good pictures.
Yes. The flowers are really pretty.
Yeah.
Our campus is actually very pretty. Mm-hmm. It makes me happy.
Yep.
All right, so getting into The Road to El Dorado, which I'm probably just going to call El Dorado because I always remember it as just El Dorado. I watched this movie quite a few times when I was a kid because we had the VCR version of this movie at my house, so I know most of it, but you, on the other hand...
Yeah, I think I watched it once when I was younger, but when I watched it this time, I did not remember anything except what the people looked like, so...
Yeah, so that's the context, I guess. What did you think of the movie?
I thought it was, like, super funny. I really liked the blonde dude, because I feel like he is me, well, minus the, being a criminal part, but his personality is super funny.
Yeah. Didn't you say, I think you said during the movie that you were Miguel, who's the blonde dude, and then I said I was Julio.
Because he's always worrying about stuff.
Yeah. We have determined, we took a Disney quiz, personality quiz the other day, which is up on our social media, and...
Oh yeah, plug, if you don't follow our Instagram, it's called Once Upon a Podcast, but it's, once underscore upon a podcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have an Instagram for any updates and just fun random stuff, so.
Yeah.
If you don't follow that, follow.
Like and subscribe. No, anyways. So, yeah, we took a Disney personality quiz, and I got Flynn Rider.
Yeah, that was so random and weird.
Yeah, I did not think, I don't know, I think the way that I answered, I guess that was what BuzzFeed thought I was, but I don't know if it's completely accurate, because I took it a second time, and I got Elsa. Yeah, so.
I got Elsa the first time, but I thought that was very accurate.
Yeah, the description and everything was very accurate to your personality. So, yeah. I think that one's correct. I just apparently don't know myself. Which, you know, it
was so sad. For every question, we were like, what? Like, we had to ask each other because it was so hard.
Yeah, it was definitely. It was very thorough, I will say.
Yeah.
Good job on BuzzFeed.
I guess it's cool that it was, you could rate it, but I usually like when there's multiple answer options.
Yeah, it does help when there's multiple answer options. The way that this one worked was it was a, bar, like a sliding bar.
Yeah.
That you could choose how much of each thing you were, but it's hard to tell when the intervals are, like, you know? Yeah, I don't remember why I started talking about this.
Because Flynn Rider is like Miguel and Tulio combined.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was really funny that you said that both of them were Flynn Rider, because I've never made that connection.
They just totally gave me that vibe.
Yeah.
But also, you probably saw it before Tangled came out.
Yeah, I think I did, actually. Because I didn't have that much experience with Tangled. But it's so true, though, because they're both, they have the same sense of humor, yeah. Flynn Rider and Miguel and Tulio, and then they also somehow along their way get a horse.
Oh yeah, the horse was something weird, but you said that you thought they were saying a different name the whole time.
Yeah, so it's Altivo, like Altivo, I think, is the actual name in the movie, but I forever thought it was El Divo, like the diva, but Divo, because that's how Spanish grammar works. So, I thought the horse's name was Diva the whole time, but that's not the case.
That's so funny, though.
But he is a diva. I mean, if you watch the movie, you know that horse has a personality of his own.
Yeah, it was funny because they were, like, sneaking onto a boat, and they got caught, and I was like, why are they in trouble for being on a boat?
Right, yeah, because you didn't know that stowaways in the past, being a stowaway was a crime.
Yeah, because the only thing I've ever seen a stowaway in was Narnia, and it was a child, and Lucy was just like, oh, it's okay, you can be here, like, all nice and stuff.
Wait, really? You
haven't seen that one.
Oh, well, yeah. I wasn't, I was saying that because, like, didn't you read books where there were stowaways, or, I don't know, isn't Pirates of the Caribbean, doesn't it have something about stowaways in there?
I don't remember that, but it's possible, but yeah. Also I thought, like, every problem was just because they were a pirate.
Oh, yeah, no, I think, I mean, this is my limited knowledge, but I think that stowaways were punished so heavily because back then getting on a boat was such a big deal. It cost a lot of money.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it just never
crossed my mind for some reason.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, you're gonna be flogged on the ship, and then when we get to land, we're gonna keep flogging you. That just seems so much.
Well, that's because they were trying to portray Cortez as a ruthless sort of conqueror.
Wait, that was Cortez's boat?
Yes?
I thought they were just on a random boat.
No, it was Cortez. Cortez was giving them the punishment.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is why, because he's supposed to be some ruthless conqueror, which...
Yeah, which I never, like, actually thought about, because, like, whenever we learned about explorers, like, I knew that they were, like, bad, like, more in high school, but for some reason, I always just never, like, thought about them in the way he was portrayed in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they kind of, like, they don't, they, in a way, they kind of glorify them.
Right, because the legacy of the conquerors is so important to, like, Spanish, maybe not Hispanic, I feel like that's the wrong word, but Spanish history, and sort of world history, because the conquering had a long-term effect on the world, but I think you're right that they did glorify it a little bit in the way that they portray it in history.
Yeah, because, like, the way I thought, like, obviously I knew that, like, they did bad things, but for some reason, that was just a shock to me in the movie.
I think it's sort of the way that we look at explorers, even to the Americas, like Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
America.
Oh, yeah, how Columbus discovered it, but it wasn't even him, it was Leif Erikson, right?
Leif Erikson? I don't know.
I swear he discovered what Christopher Columbus claimed to discover.
I think... first known European to have set foot on continental North America.
Yeah. Nobody talks about him. They talk about Christopher Columbus, but it wasn't Christopher Columbus.
Right. Well, history gets a lot of things wrong. History books.
That's true.
Because...
I feel like it's just kind of hard to... get history right.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
It is, I mean, because if you think about it, history books are usually written by one person, but history is experienced by so many different people in so many different ways that it's hard to write a history book that'll be applicable to everyone.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I do get it, but there are a lot of things that just are misrepresented because of the attitudes of the certain people at the time. Mm-hmm. And those things we need to change and try and go back and change them, right? So we get both sides.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, whenever I was thinking of how they got thrown in jail, it reminded me of how Miguel had the apple, and then he like held it up to the horse, and he was talking to the horse. He was like, okay, we need you to get like an iron bar or something. And then Tulio was like, the horse is not gonna know what you're saying. And then the horse comes back with the keys to the jail cell. I was like, how do you even get it? Oh my gosh, he really just like committed treason for an apple.
Well, if you put that in perspective like that. No, that's one of the best parts of the movie for me. Because the horse proves Tulio wrong. But Tulio's still like, it's not an iron bar.
It's just so funny. And then the funniest part, I have it all pulled up. And they like escape from the boat. And they're like rowing in a small rowboat, and then Miguel's like, Tulio, did you ever imagine it would end like this? Because they think they're gonna die because they have no food and stuff. And then Tulio says, the horse is a surprise. And then Miguel says, any regrets? And Tulio says, besides dying, yeah, I never had enough gold. I don't know. That part was just so funny to me because they were being super, like, dramatic, and I loved it. I was like, I would be like them.
Yeah, they were very dramatic. And it's even more funny because they're so close to land and they have no idea.
Yeah, and then, like, the horse is with them because he, like, jumped out of the boat for the apple. I don't know how the horse fit in the boat.
I don't know. I really don't, because that horse is massive, or it looks massive in the animation.
Yeah.
El Divo. I'm calling him El Divo, no matter what his actual name is, because he is a diva, so... yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's just, like, so funny, and I don't know why.
The humor, I don't know, the humor just hits home with both of us. Maybe you guys don't like it, but we love it.
Yeah, there's also a part, well, it happens a couple times in the movie, but whenever they get caught for, like, cheating or something, they pretend like they're turning against each other, And they're like, what? You were cheating? And then the other dude's like, what? I wasn't the one cheating. You were the one cheating. And then they, like, just keep fighting. And then the person that accuses them just gets confused. And they keep fighting until they escape. And it's just so funny.
I think that's actually so smart.
Yeah.
If your partner and you are caught in something like that and trying to start a fight between each other, so then the authorities or whoever is going to punish you think that they're gonna see a fight, so they don't even have to do anything, and then you can just get out.
I don't think that would happen in real life though, like with cops.
I mean, okay, probably not, because people are smarter than that.
The cops would like not be having
it. Yeah, but you know what, I think in maybe like a high school fight or something, you know,
yeah,
that could happen if you had like
maybe a fight, if you were like with people. Maybe like this is a bit of a stretch, but like if you were like kind of like a con person and someone got mad at you, you could probably get out of that.
Yeah,
by fighting. Maybe, I don't know, I've never been in that situation, obviously.
Yeah, I've never been in that situation either, but I don't know, I can imagine a situation where you could use that trick to get out.
Yeah.
It's just a nice trick to have up your sleeve.
It's
you know.
So funny. And they do it multiple times.
Oh, and then the line about the sister. You, wait, okay.
Oh yeah, he's like, you fight like, you fight like my sister. And then, was he like, I fought your sister, she's good or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I was like, I fought your sister, that's a compliment.
Oh yeah.
That was a great line.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's maybe it's just DreamWorks humor because I'm Shrek.
Maybe, honestly. We were just talking about Shrek earlier, and you've watched Shrek a ton.
Yeah, because my family was obsessed with it. We have all the movies. We watched it all the time.
Yeah, and I remember watching the first one. I think we own at least one of the Shrek movies. But I saw the second one and got weirded out by
it. The second one is so good. The second one is, like, the best one out of all of them.
That's the one with the fairy godmother,
yeah, and she
right?
sings, I need a hero.
Okay, that's a good song, but, yeah, I don't know. I got weirded out by it, and then I just didn't like the rest of the Shrek movies because of that. Well, I didn't watch them.
You didn't watch Shrek the Third. Literally, I showed Serena multiple clips from Shrek the Third because they're so funny, and I can't believe you missed out on all of those things.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch
I have to
Shrek
show you
3.
More because there's this really funny part of Jinzy that I just thought of.
Oh, yeah. Okay. After this.
Yeah. But it's just, my family was a Shrek family. I didn't realize there was, like, kind of inappropriate, like, humor a little bit. Like, I was watching Shrek 2 a couple weeks ago, because I don't think I actually had seen it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And, they said a bad word in it.
Really?
Yeah, I think, I can't remember which one, but they said a bad word. I was like, it's animated. I definitely didn't catch it as a child, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember.
I feel like it might have just been, like, the donkey joke.
Oh.
But still.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, a bad word.
Well, that usually comes across. Like, usually, not comes across. That usually, slides through.
Yeah. It just was weird to me.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
It's literally a kid's movie. But I guess it's also an adult movie because I watch it as an adult.
Yeah. It tries to appeal to both audiences.
Yeah. They're just so funny movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, back to El Dorado, because that is the main focus of our episode. We kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the history of El Dorado, because it's an interesting myth. So, this is going to be information that I looked up because we did not know this before.
Yeah.
So, El Dorado, which translates to either Gilded Man or Golden One, referred to the legendary kings of... Oh, boy. Muisca? Or Chibcha?
Sorry if we butchered that.
Yeah, I just, pronunciation is not my forte. Anyway, people who populated the northern Andes of modern-day Colombia from 600 CE to 1600 CE, so way in the past. Oh, I guess 1600 is not that far.
Right. I don't understand the CE thing.
CE is...
Was that before BC and AD? Or is that after those?
I don't actually know.
Wait.
I just BC assumed...
is before Christ. Is it... Oh. So then AD might be...
No. Oh, wait. So... I think BCE and CE are also... ways to say BC and AD. Like, CE is the same thing as AD.
Okay, so AD, so CE is, like, the most recent.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. So, 1600 is only, what, 400 years beforehand?
I don't really understand the time frame for those.
Because it's, right now it's 2021, so 1600 would be about 420 years back from this year.
No, but 1600 CE is before that.
No, because it's CE is the same as AD. And but we're in AD right now.
Wait, we are?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, that, really?
I think so.
I didn't know we were in that. I thought that was before us. I'm so confused. I never understood these, though.
I thought
it was just the 1600s with nothing.
I am really sure. I feel like AD, because BC is technically before Christ.
Wait, look up this.
What is this one?
Yeah.
What year? What's AH?
What? I was trying to see if it would say what that means, but that just confused me.
Are we living in 2020 AD? Yes, right. Okay, so this year...
So, it, why don't they say 1600s? Wait, I really thought in the history book CE meant way before us.
Well, this gives you a new perspective.
That's so weird.
So, for anyone listening, now you know, AD is the same as CE, and both of them are this time period.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and BC and BCE both stand for, like, before Christ or before Common Era. That's what BCE is. And that's before AD or CE.
I knew it stood for before Christ, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
Yeah, okay, that's eye-opener.
Yeah, so, really, these people lived up to 400 years ago, and, yeah, so over time, El Dorado extended its meaning to refer to a lost golden city, which is what's portrayed in the movie, and even an entire region. When the Spanish conquistadors heard these incredible tales of a city paved in gold, they tried every means possible to find it, but ultimately, the explorers and treasure hunters who followed them never really did find the treasures. Mm-hmm. So, this... whole movie is based on a legend that never was actually found.
Yeah.
But it is cool to see that legend play out in film, because a lot of film, I think, takes a legend in some culture and, like, makes it a reality.
Yeah. Have you heard of the Atlantis movies?
They're, yes.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of this a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's, like, a little different.
Yeah, that's a little different. And it's also underwater-ish.
Yeah, it's so super cool.
Yeah. But both of the animation and the landscape of the whole movie is very, very beautiful.
Yeah. It also, and I also said this earlier, but it reminds me of the Fountain of Youth also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I... don't really know. I mean, I know what the Fountain of Youth is, the idea of it, but I just don't know.
I don't think it was ever found.
Yeah, I don't think so.
The only reason I know about it is because of Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure most of my knowledge came from that. It's mythical.
Right. Yeah, the Fountain of Youth is...
So, I would think it's kind of similar to this in a way.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just, like, youth potion versus a bunch of gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Fountain of Youth is referred to in a ton of different books and movies.
Yeah, like, I learned about it when we went over Explorers. Mm-hmm. But then, like, I knew more about it from Pirates of the Caribbean. Which is actually, like, really cool that they did something like that in the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Editor Serena here. Unfortunately, we've lost the rest of this recording, so I am going to attempt to end it on my own, since Bree and I are on summer break, so we're not in the same place anymore. Otherwise, we'd re-record, obviously. But I'm going to attempt to end this on my own with some more information about El Dorado, so let's continue. The interesting thing about this myth is that El Dorado was first a person, and then it switched to a place, to a city, actually, and then the myth kept being exaggerated from a man to a city to a kingdom, and then finally to an empire. But before the myth was a man, the myth was originated in a ritual. So the Muisca people, the leader was said to be covered with gold dust, which he then washed off in the lake, while his attendants threw objects made of gold, emeralds, and precious stones into the lake. And in the movie, The Road to El Dorado, we actually see some of this. There's a kind of whirlpool that is at the bottom of a cliff that the chief encourages Tulio and Miguel to throw in a bunch of gold into the whirlpool as a ceremonial thing. So some of that tradition, that the myth was actually replicated here in this movie, which is really cool. But we see really nothing about the leader of the people that was covered in gold dust. A lot of the people in the movie, the characters in the movie, wore gold items as clothes or earrings, but we don't see any gold dust. So in recent years, archaeologists have uncovered more and more about the truth of this myth, and the proof is in the artifacts that they uncover. So they have uncovered an artifact that is an exact replica of the ritual that we just described that was originally described by Juan Frail, who is one of the original sources for all of this El Dorado mythology. And this scene depicts a man covered in gold going into a sacred lake, just as in the real myth or real story of El Dorado. So, in actuality, the Muisca people, the Muisca society, never really thought of all of this gold. They didn't seek it for material gain or monetary value. They actually saw the value in its spiritual power. So they believed that gold connected them to deities, to gods, and that gold had an ability to bring balance and harmony to their society. And so it was very interesting that this myth, when it was observed by Europeans took their values, the monetary values, and the emphasis in their minds of how valuable gold was and how much they could do with it, that created that exaggeration that grew the myth from a man and a tradition into an empire of gold, mainly because European minds were so surprised and dazzled by how much gold there was in that society. The Muisca society, because they saw spiritual value in gold, they dedicated, as archaeologists say, about 50% of their production for votive offerings, so religious offerings that were made of gold.
People are still looking for the gold from El Dorado to this day. The location that kind of corresponds with the myth is around Bogota. So archaeologists in Bogota are fighting a rising tide of looting from people today trying to steal this gold for their personal gain and robbing the archaeologists and people of what we could learn from it, the history and the stories. The quantities of gold uncovered there is actually crazy. In the 1970s, a few new areas that hadn't been excavated were discovered by looters, and that gold caused the world gold market to crash.
I'm not sure that that was the only cause of the gold market crash, but it could be one of them. Anyways, I hope that you enjoyed learning a little bit more about El Dorado, and I hope you developed a deeper appreciation for this movie also. I know Bree and I really enjoyed it, and it was hilarious. So, thanks for listening to this episode, and we'll see you next time. Bye!